talk on being a disciple in Secunda. Great cost and a greater reward. We'll speak on discipleship, a few things about it. Very straight. I hope that the truth of the word convicts you and brings joy in your life. Amen? And then, the next time, probably, or the week after that, we'll get more practical. Alright, so tonight I'm preaching at hearts a lot. Preaching at hearts. Next time, probably more at the hands. So what now? Doesn't help me to psych you up for something if you don't know what it is. Okay? So we want to do both. So let me start with a few ideas. Salvation, right? For the Afrikaans people, salvation, it means redding. Salig maken. I'm glad that she's in front. I must get like a little mic so she can help me. Salig maken. It is for free. What I mean by that, I'm going to say a few shocking things tonight, but I will validate it every time. What I mean by that is you cannot purchase it. Right? You cannot purchase your salvation, your soul, because it was purchased on the cross. Right? Everyone with me? Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace you were saved by faith. Grace, something God gives. You could say faith comes from your side, but I would argue that even faith towards God, it happens by God moving through you in faith. Your salvation, your redemption is forbidden. Okay? So in a way, it cost you nothing. And at that point, I would say, how I need grace. Oh, how this man needs that grace. I need that salvation to be given to me because I'm just too weak. I cannot please God one day without messing up. You can ask my wife. She'll make a long list of my imperfections. I need that grace. So I'll take that for free, okay? I'll take it and I'll take it with both hands and feet. I need that. So pray that, okay? Don't feel bad about it. Say, God, I need grace. Give me more of it. Give me more of the stuff that I cannot obtain of myself that only you can give. Because I know if it comes from you, it better be good. It will be good. Every good and perfect gift will come from the Father. So ask for grace every day if you want to. It is for free. I want to say it straight. At the best of my days and your days, I will take the liberty to say, your words and my words before God at best sucks. At the best, it falls short. So we need grace. Okay? But let me say this. Even though salvation is for free, being a disciple is not for free. God does salvation in you. Being a disciple and following Him is something that you do with God. It's not something you do. You do it with God. You become a partner with God. When it comes to discipleship, are you with me? Salvation is for free. Discipleship is not for free. There's words. Don't let any palooka come in through the door and tell you when you get your life together and you start to obey God that someone tells you, God, you are into works. I'm into grace. No. If grace has really reached your heart, if salvation has really happened to you, you will work. But you will work because you love God. Are you with me? Not because you want to earn it. We spoke about it a few times. Not because you want to earn His love. He loves you already. So you respond in love towards Him. It's called being a disciple. Everyone with me? Just wave your hand if you're with me. Okay? I want to say, just for a moment, if we only preach salvation and it being free, we would be extremely shallow. There's a big movement around the world, it's called the grace movement. It's a bad name because grace is a good thing. But it's because there's a hyper interpretation of grace called the free grace. So they will say you have to do nothing, God has done everything for you, just hang around. And it's a very good message to preach if you want your church to grow quickly and if you want to keep everyone. But I would rather preach the full truth, have 50 people in my church, and when Jesus comes back and says, well done you guys, only 50, then being 500 and allowing people to sleep with one another, smoke what you want, do whatever you want, and say, don't worry. That would be wrong. In 1 John, the Bible teaches, he who practices righteousness is righteous. Right? He who is truly saved is not perfect, but starts to practice becoming more like God. Now, practice means you fail, alright? You fail, you mess up, that's okay. You fall, bloody nose, you stand up. You are practicing becoming more like Christ. That means when a topic comes onto the table which is relevant to your life, you don't say, now the grace comes, that's it. You say, I'm going to start practicing getting that right now. That is evidence that you are saved, by the way. Truly. From my opinion. Vision? I want to say now, I'm throwing a few things out there and we'll start backing it as we go on. If I believe that Christianity, following God, is something that will always be digestible for me, understandable, and falls within my limits of brain capacity, within my limits of what I can, cannot do, and my limits of understanding, and in a way you want to take the gospel and compress it into something that you can say, okay, I understand this, then you're having a wrong view. It will be difficult for you. Because sometimes it's undigestible, it's difficult, it goes beyond us. The Bible says that for now we see dimly, we can't always make things out. But when He comes again, we will see clearly. Right? This will be a very difficult church to be in if you want the gospel to be easy and digestible. It's going to be more like a steak, okay? You have to chew on it. You have to get it down and then it starts working good things, okay? Maybe it's a bad example, but I think the briars here will think that's the best example we had in church so far. Now, before we get into the scripture of today, I want to start off by saying that Jesus will be a very bad salesman in South Africa today, in the world. I'll tell you now, he's too full of truth. He does not lie. Okay? He's not a smooth talker or a sugar coater. He brings the truth to absolute love. So I might go to another 1,000 car garages here in Zakuba, and I can play like I'm very interested, and the guy will say, oh, this car is perfect for you. Look, that red on that. And then I'll say, I like that car more, but it's like a totally different car. No, this car is actually the best one for you. It's all smooth talking. I'm telling you, Jesus is the opposite. Comes with the truth, right? And let me show that to you. Follow me with the best concentration you possibly can. Alright. Let's go on. Thank you, Paul. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, goodness, how's that for a salesman? And children and brothers and sisters, yes, on top of it all, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That must be the worst sales talk ever. Think about it. I mean, a guy comes and talks like that, I'm like, I'm not. Then I would say something like, I'll campaign. Follow me. I will give you Cocoa Pops every morning. And Steady Stumpies at 11. Yeah. Oh, when you are uncomfortable, I will be there to fix your hair and make sure you are up. Christ, that was difficult things. Okay? Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. It cannot be. Alright? So we're talking about the cost of discipleship, and the theme of tonight is discipleship. It's a great cost, but it's a greater reward. We'll get to the cost and the reward, okay? Who talks like that? Now, if you just go back one slide or two, yes. I mean, just look at it. This is Jesus speaking. Can you believe he uses the word hate in the same sentence as family? Mother, father, friends, it's like it's not compatible. What is Jesus talking about? If we look at Exodus 20 verse 12, it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long. God is for family. In the same way, he said in Ephesians 5, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. What is he speaking about? Love, okay? So love your family. In Ephesians 5 verse 53, it says, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So what's going on here? It's like it doesn't add up. On the one side, God says, go love your parents, respect them, and your days will be long. Then he says, husbands, love your wife. And the other way, I only quoted three verses. There is love. Then he comes in one sentence. Previous one. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother or wife, children, he cannot be my son. I think Jesus is saying this. There is many relationships on earth that is very important to God. Your mother, your father, he says, respect them. So that there's no belong. Husbands, wives, love one another, serve one another. Jesus even says, love your enemies. But what he is saying here is, if you take relationships on earth and your relationship with your maker, the two cannot be in the same universe. It cannot be measured or compared to one another. You cannot, be very stupid to say I love God almost as much as my wife, because my relationship with God as a disciple is in another universe. Okay, so Jesus is drawing a comparison. He says, in comparison, you hate people compared to me, right? Your mother belongs to God, given to you, led to you in your life. You've got your mother as a gift. Anya, the little baby, it's not Barron's and Natasha's, it's God. God owns everyone. And then God comes and he speaks and he says, so when it comes to me and you, we are on a different level than when all of the people come together. I want to see love. I want to see grace. I want to see beautiful things happen. But it's in another universe. When you come to me for a relationship. Do you know what? Very easy. Some of you will know exactly what I'm talking about here. As you start to follow Jesus, you will get resistance. From whom? Family. Friends, boss, grocery store owner, you will get resistance. And Jesus is saying, I want you to choose me every single time. When there is resistance, even with your own mom and dad. If you can do that, you follow me. Because you know what it likes to experience resistance and still choose me. Everyone with me? So at work, maybe your boss will say, or your friends will tell you, listen, Jock, we like you being a Christian. We also go to church and stuff. But don't be so radical. You always take it too far. I mean, for crying out loud, when you're smoking a bug, it's healthy for you or something. So we're okay with the terms of you being a Christian and Jesus and everything, and you praying or praying before food and stuff. We also like that. But don't speak when you feel you like now crossing the line. And then Jesus is saying, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, friends, he cannot be my disciple. Right? If I give in to my friend's request over time, listen, I'm not asking us to be brats, right? I'm asking us about conviction. I'm speaking about conviction. If I give in, I flow with it, I go with it, this is my friend's. You have made your decision in that situation. I'm not saying you're unsaved. I'm saying you have made, in that situation, your decision whether you are going to follow your friend or follow Christ. The true disciple will take a big hit right there. It's difficult. Maybe your boss, and you've got a decision to make. Paycheck, follow Christ. I'm talking about the cost of discipleship. Resistance in that situation. Or, you're a man or woman, and you start to pursue a romantic relationship with an unsaved individual. You've made your decision. I'm talking straight up to you. You pursue a relationship with a person that does not love Jesus Christ. You have made your decision. You have chosen that person. And the fruit of those decisions is being reaped every day as we speak. Now people will be divorcing. Amen? We're setting strong values here, okay? Because we want God, lives that glorify Jesus and marriages that works. You know, Sukuna, what's the second highest divorce rate in the country or something? David? Something I heard. It's crazy, man. It's like a zoo. Did your friend in that situation, was he the one that knew your name before you were born? Or was he the one that purchased your salvation on the cross? Unless that friend is Jesus, the answer is no. Was your boss the one that came and saved you out of a life of unrest and pain and depression? No. Jesus is. So he compares, he draws a comparison, and he says, compared to what I have done and want to do through you and see you, no human relationship can be named in the same universe. The cost of being a disciple. Amen. So we have decisions to make in our church and our houses. We have to make decisions between these things. What could happen in someone's life, right, is that two people marry, and not one of them knows the Lord. And the wife comes and she gives her life to Jesus, and he saves her. And she starts going to church, and her life is starting to turn around, and she's starting to follow Jesus at her workplace. She's telling people about him, and she starts to pray for her husband, but he still doesn't want to know of God. And at a stage, her husband, he just flips and says, you know, I like you being friendly and everything, but this church, do you really have to go there? Do you really have to every night talk to our kids about Jesus? That's your thing. That's not their thing. Do you really have to be like that in our house? Do you really have to put scripture in the house? Can't you keep it to yourself? And then he starts, if you don't do change, then I'll leave you. And many marriages get to that point. And the best answer the wife can give at that point is, I don't want to divorce you. Say it to one, say, they're married already. I don't want to divorce you. I want to stay your wife. But if you're going to make me choose, I'll choose Jesus. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters. Amen? What also happens is that we ask ourselves, what do we commit to? When we follow Jesus, and the scripture says in John 15 verse 20, remember the word that I said to you. A servant, if you want to write it down, it's John 15 verse 20. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Alright? So Jesus is saying here, being a disciple means not to take the path of least resistance. Because when there is resistance, you will back away instead of standing. Right? Being a disciple is not taking the way of the least resistance, but the way of Christ. Simply put. You know what will happen is there'll be 20 people. They'll be joking. This happened to me when I was in university. So this is reality. He'll go for a wave for a weekend, and all the guys' weekend, Brian, making poikos, everything fine. And then suddenly, 9 o'clock, one man will come with pornography DVD, and he will stick it into the DVD player. And every single person will go sit in that room. And that's where you say, no. You don't sit in that room. So you're not there. And out of those 20 people, a certain percentage of them will go to bed that night and they will admire you. Because you stood up for Jesus in that situation. That's one example. Many times you will stand up and they will laugh at you. But what Jesus wants to do, there's 3 people there in that group of 10 that Jesus wants to save. And the fact that you stood up in that situation, there was a seed in their hearts. And a year later, they phone you in the middle of the night. Come to my house now. Because one day you stood up and you said, you weren't going on like a drunk person. You just stood there and said, I don't agree with this, guys. I don't agree with this. This is not what Christ wants from us. And there'll be a word or two in your life. And that is your testimony right there. You chose Christ. Amen? Are we together? I want to ask something. Where was Jesus' friends in his darkest hour? Where was Judas? With his friend. Where was his self-proclaimed bodyguard in his darkest hour? Peter. He wasn't there. Hopefully not a lot, but it will happen also to us. Okay? And that's why we are here. To support one another, to pull one another up, to pray, to say, I don't care what those people say about you, I will back you. That's why church is important. That's one of many reasons. Amen? So in the week we go out and there's shots given and taken, and we come back in here and we talk about it. And you say, you know what, buddy? This week there was a situation, and I didn't stand up for Christ. I feel terrible. And you pray and God forgives you there and then. That is you practicing the right thing. Because I know when it happens again, you will stand your ground. Amen? Getting to the good stuff. This is the hard part. But if we don't share this, we lie to one another. Okay? It's terribly silent. I don't know if it's there are people sleeping or if it's just really hard to digest. The very people that laugh at you will be the ones that admire you, telling you that. I've got a story. Can you put that photo up there, please? Oh, it's Some of you will know that guy. Initially, you know him. Today, you know him. His name is Warwick. He's a good friend of mine. Boys, our first team rugby captain. The works. First 4 years together in Reds. We served the Lord. He was not a servant of God. He sat on the other side making jokes. Very influential guy. People like to follow him. We just stood up for God. I had a prayer card. My first year, we had to put up 5 minutes. His name was on top. I said, okay, God, this is where I'm going to test my faith. You can say, this guy, then I'm having a real, because crying out loud, he's as hard as rock. My third year, the middle of the night, open the door. He came into my room and he cried like a baby. I'm like, what are you doing here? It's 3 o'clock. Come tomorrow morning with your story. No. You pray for me now. Because testimony after testimony, that was not just me, that was other guys as well, Coles also and the rest. Just standing up, just believers standing up for Christ. In house meeting, 100 guys, no. That thing with me, that's wrong. You don't give first years alcohol to down and then everyone will laugh at you, but you stand up. And then guys come in the middle of the night. Today, serving the Lord, is in our church, as intercessor, is growing. Because godly disciples stood up. And the seed was sown. That's you, that's me. Our workplaces, the houses where we live. Don't choose the path of least resistance. Let Shofar Sekunda be that church. Choose the way of Jesus. Amen. Many friends. I remember when I'm telling you guys some stories. At the beginning of university, okay, we have got nothing except the study loan. That's what we earn. Lord, we serve Jesus, everyone. Clap our hands, go on missions, get a degree, get a job, paycheck comes in. Normally when there was 50 of us, there's now 45. First paycheck came. 2 years later, a few got a raise, now there's only 30 of us still worshiping God. See, this life is getting more comfortable. Then some get married, now there's only 25 left. As God blesses us, we say we don't serve you anymore. We stop standing up for Christ. And we get kids, and it's far away. Let us not be that people. Let us stand in this place and in this town. Whether we earn a lot of money, a little bit, have kids, have wives, or not, let us stand upright. Amen? Let me talk a bit of John Piper here. Some of you will know, you are going to die. And I am going to die. Let's make our death count. You're going to die. You know what's worse than dying? This is what John Piper would say. He's a guy from America. Worse than dying is living a wasted life. Right? So we're going to die, we're going to live. Let's make both count. Let's make His name big in our living and in our dying. Amen? That sounds like something I want to do. I want at least one amen. Okay, thank you, Warren. I'm so glad you're in the front row also. For which of you desiring to build a tower? Go to the next slide, Paul. Which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost whether he has enough to complete it? Next one. Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, he was unable to finish. All I want to say this is, don't give up. If you started with Christ, don't give up. Pick yourself up and don't give up. Think of the places where you get support and make sure you get there. I want to commend the guys that did the exterior, that is not in the worship team, and That's not preaching. Thanks for being here. You don't give up. You are here at church tonight. You've got every reason to say, I'm tired, I'm not here. That is a good example. Don't give up. Because this is what you need to get through the week. I commend you guys. Give yourself a clap. Don't you worry, you in the band. You have to be here. So don't ask yourself, yeah, how can I make this easy? Ask yourself, how can I grow as fast as possible in this situation? Let me give you a start. Foundation one next week. At our house. I wish there's so many people that I have to sit on the lawn. Okay? Let me know what happened. Come to foundation and grow. Don't give up. Next week we've got a camp. Get there. We're going to do foundation two. Right? Growing. If you don't have a 400 grand, come speak to one of us, come speak to me or David, we'll make it happen. But don't give up. Do what you can do to follow Christ in the context you are in. After church, we have a new missions meeting there. If you don't come, okay? Just do it. It's how you make sure that your faith stays alive. As an example, a guy uses example of marriage. He says, following Christ is like a marriage. That's why Jesus also speaks a lot of him being the groom and we being the bride. But this is what it's not like. So you marry this guy, and then the next week you tell him, no, the next day, I want a divorce. And he's like, what? No, I'm really into wedding days. I love weddings. I love wearing this white dress. I love the cake. I love the guests. But marriage, no, it's too long. It's too long. I love dresses and cakes. I'm at home playing some other Scottish instrument when everyone walks. That's what I'm into. The wedding day. But marriage. And the discipleship is exactly the same. Many will come. Jesus will love you the next day. Because we want that quick fix, but we don't want the relationship. So we're talking about the cost of discipleship. And what we're saying is the cost of the relationship. I think it was those people who went on the meeting. They will tell you about being married in 3 years. I'm only 4 years down the line, more than most of you guys. Not enough gray hairs yet. But my Anton is the game, they come and ask you. It says it's okay. Everyone's still with me. You know why I chose this sermon for tonight? Because Jesus spoke on it and we don't speak about this thing in church. We said we want to be a Jesus-centered community. This was the center of Jesus' message. It must have been probably the hardest digestible words in the Bible from page 1 to the last page. Amen. I think this must be one of the toughest. And we speak on this because we're not here to dodge things. We're here to help one another. So many people will come and say, I want to be a part of a church with a community is strong. I'm saying yes. Yes. Because when a church follows Jesus with all their heart, there will be a strong community. But church is not about making a community. Because what happens when it gets tough, the community runs out the back door. And that's where the cross of Christ will hold us together. So we say yes. I will say we're one of the best communities in this place because I've experienced it. I've never experienced friendship and family type is this, but this is not about family, it's about Jesus. And family comes in the back door. Amen. Almost done with the tough stuff. Or, one king going out to encounter another king. Warren, how's that? Warren King. You see that joke? That's a good one. Well, one king goes out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, check this out, He sent a delegation and asked for terms of peace. It's that marriage again. We marry, but just before the marriage happens, no, let's stop. Let's stop. I'm all about the wedding day. If not, while the other is in a great way off, he sent a delegation and asked for terms of peace. So therefore, anyone of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Okay, let's talk about this. I like this example. This is like a rugby team. So we train. We gym, take creatine, stuff in our veins. We're really going big, okay? We drink only Black Label and eat steak. We train. Because we've got this game coming up, right? This Saturday. It's against Nivanda. So we come to the field, we go on a side cup, everyone's got this stuff on their head, helmets on. All the women is next to the side waving. And we come together, the captain say, guys, I want to go over to that team, I want to tell them, we give up. We give up, they're too strong. Because what? We've been training and stuff. No, they're too big for us, we give up. I mean, think about it. Think about enrolling in the army. So the guys come and they stand, the other army is standing there like Braveheart. And the commander, he gets everyone there, he's like, come on guys. And then when everyone says, I have an announcement to make, we're going to give up, yay. And the guy's like, what? He's like, no, I like this jacket. It's green and when I lay in the grass, you can't see me, check it out. I like this, the weapon, but I'm not really into fighting, this is violent, man. And that's what Jesus is speaking about. So no. When you say yes to Jesus, you say yes to many great things. We'll come to it now, but there is also great challenges. We still have the challenges, right? So think about it before you come and say yes, Jesus. And I'm speaking to you guys in this way. Most of you know the Lord already. But when you have a friend, be sure when he wants to receive Jesus, he knows what they sign up for. Amen? You're not trying to scare him, but you want to be honest with him. I don't think you must read this passage from the first day. Okay? So, leave that for day four, okay? Amen? I'm telling you, there's a story, it's not a story, it's a truth. Galatians, Galatia area of the Bible, won many wars. Okay. I'm just going to give some credit to Bob Driscoll, because he's a preacher in America and I got this info from him. And so when he was studying the whole Galatian area, what really amused him is how were they so successful at war? Because they've got no solid mountain or kind of natural defense system to help them be in strong forces like flat. And then one battle after battle after battle after battle. And so, Walt Driscoll did some studies on that and spoke to one person. And this is what came up. When these guys went to war in Galatia, they were like the guys that lived on the other side. They were rough. And they took their wives and their kids with them. And they would stand there and say to the little daughters, if we lose today, you will go to that tribe and marry them in. And your name will change. And they said to the boys, you will go there and you will work the ground for them. And your name will change. And wife, I fear what they will do to you. And their family was standing there and they would go to battle. And they would win everyone. Do you know why? When you've got something to fight for, you fight differently. Right? If you know what Jesus has done for you, you live differently. It's called to live like a disciple. If you think not much of Christ and his sacrifice, you may love him, you may have good feelings towards him and the idea and a lot of respect, but when the tough time comes, you will fall off the wagon. And I want to make sure we keep everyone that comes in here in relationship with Jesus, not in relationship with this church, don't understand me wrong. relationship with Jesus. So my second sermon, we pack up the big stuff matters. What I'm telling us is we won't give up. Amen? If I tell you about the good stuff, how your mom dies the next day, how you forsake Christ, you leave these people because how can God be so unfair towards me? But you see, you must make sure that you set up for will be great times and there will be sorrowful times. But Christ is in both. And you can stand in both. Amen? And you won't stand alone. You've got family. A life that counts and a death that counts. And the last of the tough part. I think we almost had enough. Next slide. Someone learning something here? Is it helping? Who thinks it's too hard? No one. Only me. Okay. I've got a tough one here. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its taste, this is the last verse. How shall its saltiness be restored? This is going to sound harsh. When a being a disciple is good. When you stop being a disciple, it is bad. When you are a disciple, you give meaning to your workplace. When you stop being a disciple, your workplace sucks. When you are a disciple, you bring the love of Christ into your marriage and into your fridge, into the house you live. When you stop being a disciple, nothing happens. Jesus is saying, salt is salt, if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? Some Christians, right, just as salt that is not salt anymore is worthless, many Christians does not add worth because they've stopped being disciples. So they are worthless until they repent. Right? If we come to Christ and say, God, I've been denying you, I've been doing the wrong thing, I've lost my worth in my workplace, I've lost my worth in my friendship, God will restore it to you. And He will give you friends to help you. You know what is the problem with this? When disciples stop being disciples, on the outside, those people that confesses Christ with their mouth and live another way, it makes it hard for us to reach people with the gospel. It's difficult. Because there's many people that speak about Christ but they do not live like Him. So it is so difficult when you go and speak to that person, nah, you guys are a joke. I know what you're like. I know that guy. He comes in Saturday night with us and he's not even a Christian. Okay, so Jesus is just warning us about that. Alright? I don't think there's any people like this in this room. Don't understand me wrong. I'm just saying, let us guard our relationship with God the best we can. The best we can. Amen? Let's be vigilant. The devil is walking around. He's looking for a model for you and I to lose focus. We will stand strong in the name of Jesus. But let's tonight, let's not be condemned about it. Let's rather stand up. Head high and say, God, I've messed up. I've made many mistakes. Help me when that situation comes to me. I will stand for you. Be with me. I want to just know you are with me in that place that we're in that house where I stay. Just, I'm going to trust in you. Can't wait for my next opportunity. I think that is what Jesus wants from us. Amen? There is many challenges. Let's talk about the rewards. We're almost done. Look, I cannot, there's too much, right? So I'm going to take a few. Let's go to the first one. Paul. Indeed, I count everything as lost because the surpassing worth of knowing Christ my Lord. We're talking about the great challenges of being a disciple, but the great gains. Right? The truth is, those, us included, that only goes for the gains. The problem is, if they might not have Christ at all. Right? Because being in Christ means taking everything about him, the joy and the pains. So we spoke about the pains for a long time now, and it was so in this room, it was extremely exciting. Now I go over to the rewards. To grab hold of the surpassing word of knowing Jesus. And Paul says, wow, compared to everything I have, knowing Jesus, it's in another universe. It cannot be compared with my father, my work, my wife, my anything. Knowing Jesus. So what is our first reward for serving Jesus and being inside of himself? He is the reward we gain. What is more valuable than having Christ's love on us? Amen? Knowing him, walking with him, enjoying victories over sin with him and with the people. He is our great reward. Next slide, Paul. Now, favorite quote of verse. There is something about walking with Christ. What Paul is saying just before that, he is saying, sometimes I've got a lot, sometimes I've got almost nothing, but it doesn't matter the state I'm in. If Christ is with me, I always get through it. And one of the rewards of being a disciple is to know you are never alone. Ever. He is with you, walking beside you, encouraging you, helping you. And to have that certainty, oh, what a great reward. Amen. To have Jesus in and around us. Check this out. Next one. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. We see this every day. We see marriages that is built on two people trying their best at times. Really. Two people giving them motivation, but you know what? God is not in there. And it falls. That's just one example. But to know when you follow him, you are going somewhere. I'm going to use that example better than Natasha. Having a baby, doing it in the ways of God, bringing up money out of the way of God. God is in them. He is building and sustaining that family. He is saying it will stand. And knowing your life has a purpose, you will make it. You will stand because God's hand is in the middle. What a great reward. A life of meaning. Can I have one amen? Next one. Almost done. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good, and for those who are called according to his purpose. Also a misquoted verse in the world today. God, everything's got a reason. God, no, no, no. Read the verse. And we know that for those who love God. Jesus says, if you love me, you come out well. That is a disciple. For those who follow God, hear this for a reward. Every day of your life, as long as you follow God, everything that comes your way will come together in such a way that it works for your good. Because you love God. Yes, you do not get that raise because you did not want to comply with doing unjust business. No, you stood up. God says,